Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
And then the lead singer passed away not that long ago, too.
Yeah, very sad.
Yeah. Well, with that, good morning, everybody. How you doing? Happy Saturday. Come on in. Have a seat with us. Lyrics here.
Yo, yo.
BW is here.
I am.
And I'm Sean Robertson. This is your Weekly Dose Podcast.
So thank you for joining us today. And, of course, you know we're streaming live to you from Orange County.
Yep, if you're new to the Weekly Dose, you know our podcast is all about having fun as we recap our past week and indicting your day with laughter as we talk about the silly, awkward, and embarrassing things that we all done recently. You know, the things that connect us all and the things that make us human, because laughter is the best medicine.
That's right. To all of our listeners, old and new, we love it when you guys are a part of the show. So join in the conversation by commenting on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
And you can send us a message via X or Instagram at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can also connect with us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose or email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
That's right. And we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. 10:30, we've got Professor Andrew Fracknoy. So for all of you Mark and Brian fans out there who remember him, we're going to have Professor Andrew Fracknoy on the show.
Yeah.
And then later on, we got our friends, the listeners, Mike and Kay, because it's on tap with Mike and Kay for National Beer Day and National New Beer Day, so they're going to give us some new things that we can go try, which is going to be kind of cool. And then because of the eclipse coming up, we've got some special snacks to celebrate the eclipse itself, too, as well. So we got that all going on. Hey, guys, don't forget, you can only download the show for free from our website. We can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us, so please rate and review the show. And don't forget, guys, we are playing today's theme song is Walking on the Sun by Smash Mouth because of the eclipse. And you can make sure you can download any of the music that we play through our main sponsor, which is Amazon. Just go to our website and click on the Amazon banner and bookmark it and then shop to your heart's delight. And that way we get a little bit of ching ching and that helps us stay on the air.
Yes, yeah.
Simple as that. Is your headphones still working okay right now?
No, my headphones is good. My voice just sounds really low.
Yeah, that's because you're tired.
What do you mean? Wake up.
The volume on my thing sounds really low, and I cannot hear myself in the headphones. See, look how low my joint's coming through versus everyone else's.
Well, speak
like,
up. Say it with your chest.
I'm really trying to be nice this morning.
You're just
really trying to be cool this morning. I'm really trying to be cool this morning. Well, I didn't smoke this morning either, so my brain ain't running.
Oh, let me leave it alone.
That's part of the problem there.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for joining us today.
All right, so that's I'm here.
It's a slow morning, man. There we go. Okay, I hear myself now.
You hear yourself now?
Yeah, we good now.
All right, how about now?
Yeah, we good now. I'm good. I'm straight, baby.
How about now?
Yeah, we good.
How about now? Now good?
So, how was your week, BW? Well done, well done, well done, sir. Nice transition, nice transition. Da-da-da-da.
Can answer the man's question?
Oh, he was.
He was talking to you. Yeah.
Okay, I go first. Yeah. I was grooving for it.
Everybody's waking up.
Everybody waking up, man.
I was grooving. I'm over here. Why? Right eye and pussy tail. So my week was good. Just into new schedules, getting stuff mapped out. Got the venue going on. We about to press out the flyers. Yeah. So May 4th, if you in SoCal, you know, holla at your boy. We're going to have an event.
When we do it.
We're going to stand up. We're going to do our sketchy budget show stand up. So it's going to be fine. We're going to do the raffle there. We're going to have some good stuff to give away.
You have a raffle?
Oh, yeah.
What are we giving away?
We got an autographed Shaq jersey.
Get out of here.
Yeah, you can go on there.
That's a big jersey.
It is a big jersey. It's huge.
I know.
It's actually his jersey. It's my dress. Actually his autograph.
Yes, it's real.
I hope so because I don't want to be a fake.
I mean, some of them I had to sign, but this one that I'm doing.
This one is legit.
You can go to sketchybudget.com and look it up. But yeah, that's all that stuff there.
Because I've worked with the man.
Yeah. He's a big dude. Big dude.
I come right below his armpit.
You're pretty tall then.
You'd be really tall.
Yeah, it's really armpit.
I'm gonna wave my bullshit flag on that one.
I'm like maybe. I'm like belly button.
Shaq's armpit is like 6'8".
Yeah. You come to his belly button,
maybe. You may become, because I've met Magic Johnson, and when I stood up, I was at Magic Johnson's chest, and I was like, holy shit, man. So I know you're not at Shaq's armpit. Like, that's impossible.
And
so
right below his armpit.
Were you standing on something?
No. For real? You were like...
Yeah, I worked with the guy.
Huh.
But I worked with athletes and entertainers for kids. And
maybe that's another 2 feet, yeah.
No, his armpit. Ain't no fucking 2 feet, man.
from there to.
No, he was like, no, he talking about
a whole
like,
nother foot, though. Like, you got to think
about
it. I'm
not finna sit here and measure Shaq's armpit to top of the head ratio.
Yeah.
The dynamics of Shaq's armpit to top of the head ratio versus Sean's actual vertical height.
I'm 5'10".
Okay. Maybe. Yeah, he'd be like right by Shaq's pec. Like he'd be basically at the pec muscles right over there.
Just under his armpit, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends on how big his head is too.
I'll have to find pictures so you can see.
If you got a 10-inch stone.
It's a big motherfucker.
Plus
man.
Oh yeah. 3 inches.
And his shoes are like this big.
They're huge. They're 22 inches. I've seen them, dog. They're ridiculous.
Oh my god. Yeah.
It's like skis.
Two of my feet together.
Yeah, for real.
One in front of the other.
It's ridiculous.
Together. Like that's wild.
Well, cool. So what is it? May 4th, you said?
May 4th. It's gonna be at the Legend Cigar Lounge.
And where's that at?
In Gardena.
Gardena, okay.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Awesome.
It's going to be nice. It's going to barbecue. Cool. We're going to have some special guests.
Barbecue?
Oh, yeah.
You got to feed the people for
barbecue,
the first time.
Drinks, comedy, laughter.
Do I get in for free?
You can.
Okay.
You can. You got special.
But Karen, Karen and intern Christopher, forget it.
I give you a press pass.
Okay.
We'll think about them at the door.
Yeah,
exactly. We'll think about them at the door.
Make them work.
Depending on how they dress.
Think about that.
Make them work.
Especially intern Christopher.
Especially intern Christopher. We got to talk about that one. Yeah.
Is he overage? He got his...
He's 18. Well, he's actually 19. What am I talking about?
Oh, we're going to have to get him a
press pass. He'll be 20 at the end of this year, which is
scary. Get a press pass so he can get in.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how you know. That's how you get in places. I was backstage.
I think I had my own press pass.
I knew a dude. He told me he went to some of these joints out here, just printed his own press pass, and fixed it up, and just walked in. It's like, yo.
I was backstage a lot of places because of that.
I'm gonna have to do that.
The good days. How was your week? Who's going?
I'll go. Yeah, mine was pretty good. A little pissed right now, though, to be honest with you.
Did you clean up after yourself, at least?
I'm sorry.
I hope it didn't stain clothes.
Yeah.
No, I've been, first of all, I've had this cough where
I saw the Ricola.
Oh, my God, dude. I've been coughing up so much phlegm.
I appreciate you not wearing your mask.
Oh, no, it's nothing contagious.
I couldn't even get through that with a straight face.
I know you can. No, it's just I've been having this this phlegm or whatever, my nostrils and everything, it's going down, and I'm coughing it up, and oh God, it's horrible because I sound like a smoker. You know, smoker's cough, whatever, and, like, and nothing's coming out, and then like finding a little piece of phlegm. I'm like, oh, there it is, and get that out. And then finally, I get a nice one. I went, oh, yeah, there you go.
Spit
get,
that baby out.
Get the bucket, so you can go, pa-ding. Yeah. So, but no, I'm a little upset right now because the band I'm in right now, we've been working hard on getting a set list, getting things down. And we were just starting to call people to book shows. And our drummer decided to leave.
Yep. I knew you were about to say you lost a player.
Oh, it gets better.
Because that's the worst thing you can say right now.
It gets better. So, and, well, the thing is, we just changed guitar players because the guitar player couldn't hack it. So we got somebody better, came in.
He couldn't play?
He was taking too much time.
Gotcha.
Taking too much time, you know, learning the stuff. So we got a new guy, worked out great, been working with us for the last month. And then our drummer, though, came up and said, guys, I'm too busy at work, and it's pulling me away, not just from this project, but from my other two projects. And he goes, I just got to be honest with you. He goes, I can't devote the time, you know, to it. So I respect that.
I get it. At least,
you know, at least he came to us and told us, and we said, well, can you at least help us out until we get a new drummer? He's like, absolutely. Then the bomb dropped yesterday. Our singer decides out of nowhere to leave the band. So not only do we have to try and find a new drummer, now we have to find a new female vocalist.
What was her reasoning?
She wants to do original music, and I guess the original project that she's working on also, she feels it's taking off already. And I'm like, you know, good luck to you.
My female band, the female singer in my band, left my band and said, didn't say the same thing, but basically, like, it wasn't moving fast enough for her and we wasn't getting paid. So we did a gig and she left right after that. But fast forward to right now, she told my homie, like, last year sometimes, like, look, if we wanted to get the band back together like that, she'd be in a heartbeat. She knew she shouldn't have left. Like, yeah, that's unfortunate, man.
I'm really pissed. I'm pissed right because that means now the work that I've put in, not just learning songs, but now with a new vocalist, we've got to almost start over again on a new set list and new everything because
it's got to fit the voice.
It's got to fit the voice. Exactly. So damn. I'm not a happy camper right now.
No, somebody need to be punched in the throat.
So, I felt like doing that last night.
See, in times like this, that should be a service where you call the number and they send over somebody where you can just whip their ass for like 20 minutes and then you send them back. There are people that are gluttons for pain. I'm pretty sure that should be a service. I just want to beat the hell out of
somebody. 1-800 look like an accident is what it is.
It's got to be something.
You know, I know people just wink, wink.
Yeah. Oh no, I know Italians too. Trust me. And silence.
Anyway,
I love that. Yeah.
My week was cool.
What'd you do?
We already knew that. That's
you do that. You got the show ready, went and looked at the lounge.
But you got a long drive today, though, man.
Yeah, I don't really want to do that.
We got to drive to Alaska. Where you got to drive?
Damn near. I got to drive to Palmdale.
Oh.
Which is like
Costa Rica.
To New York, damn near. So, and then, you know what I'm saying? We'll see what it look like at noon, because at noon, the traffic get crazy. And I'm not really trying to spend 2.5 hours on the road, fam. Like, I'm really not that dude.
I'm going to tell them to go ahead and start some construction.
You know what? Sometimes it seems like that. Like, I'd be driving sometime, and I'll look, and then it seems like somebody will jump out in the road right when I look. Like, they weren't there before. But as soon as I start looking, they jump right in the road. Like, see, I should hit your punk ass.
I see them put the cones out in front of me. Like, no, let me pass.
Dude, you see them right here, man. Like, yo.
The craziest thing I heard recently was on the 605. I forgot what direction, but there was a horse running in the carpool lane.
Nice. He deserves it.
Let
him live.
Exactly. No, and last I heard or whatever, I hadn't heard it on the news or whatever that night, because it was, I think, Wednesday night, Tuesday or Wednesday night.
Oh, boy.
And apparently, I guess a semi hit it, but I don't know how bad it hit it. you know, or whatever.
If a semi hit it, then that's...
Yeah, and I'm just like, but how in the hell did it get out, number one? I know there's an equestrian center
it was
over there, near there. But two,
shut
how in the hell did
up.
It...
Shut up. Please continue your
And then
story.
I don't know why or how
rude
in the hell...
fucker you. You rude, inconsiderate fucker you. Continue your story, please, sir.
Oh, beauty.
God.
Wow.
Oh, man. Too soon.
Really?
No, I'm fucking with him.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, I'm just wondering how the hell the damn horse got on the
freeway,
though.
That's what I'm wondering,
though.
Like, if it's an equestrian
yeah.
nearby.
Yeah, there was.
It probably broke out of there, but that's still, like,
but
you know,
still,
that's terrifying, man.
I mean, you had to jump over some river there
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah.
And
unless you just ran up a ramp, son.
Something.
Yeah, like, it's, yeah, that's sad, man. Poor horse.
So.
I bet he was terrified. Shit.
Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely, especially on there, you know, all the headlights
yeah, oh,
coming out of
man.
Gee-many crickets.
Poor boy, man. Oh,
you know.
I relate to horses in a lot of ways.
You're a big ass, too, huh?
Yeah, front and back. But it's more so.
Can you feel the way I'm looking at you right
I
now?
I relate to horses, the way they domesticate them and just ride on their back, just make them. I was watching Polo the other day and I was
stop
crying.
Talking. Stop talking.
I was.
Stop talking. Just
I'm
stop
serious.
Talking.
You think I'm so serious. I was like, look at the, why they got to kick the horses the whole game? It was sad. I didn't like it. Why are we still letting them do polo? Why is that a sport still? Think about it.
Good thing it wasn't water polo.
That'd be messed up to the horses.
The horses would drown.
Too.
You all right, brother? You okay, brother?
My mic condom came off. Let me put that back. All right, I'm serious though. I was really like, dang, like, why is this sport still here? You know, it was
polo.
Rhino.
It's
yeah,
an
polo.
Old game.
Yeah,
it's an old game.
It's old. That's what I'm saying. It's one of them old slavery type games.
How is it slavery?
Because they riding the horses. The horses ain't even really playing. They just riding on them and they having all the fun. Let the horse have some fun too. Let the horse kick the ball. Get a ball. Get him, let him kick it and score. Give the horse some points. I want to see the horse name up there in the lights. Not the jockey.
It's not the jockey. It's the rider.
Whatever his name is.
The jockey would be in a, you know, horse race.
Okay, well, he still.
And that's old too.
Exactly. All them sports. Get off the horse back, man. Let the horses be free. Free the
But yet,
horse.
Earlier he said that he liked the fact that they domesticated the
I'm
horse.
I'm not engaging I don't in this like stupid that. Ass conversation. I'm not engaging in this dumb ass conversation. Are you serious? Really? You really care that much about horses?
Yeah.
You Name a breed of horse.
The Cliffs.
No.
The Cliffs.
The what?
The
That's a breed of a horse?
Yeah, the Budweiser horse.
No. What kind of horse?
Clydesdale.
Give me another one.
Why got to you say? Hey,
give me
I
another
keep
one.
On going.
Give me you love horses.
Mustang.
That's fucking. That's
it's a horse.
Goddamn car, man.
It's also a horse too, though.
Car. I know that, man. But he don't know that.
Man. I knew two of them already, and I'm gonna keep on my horse trade.
If you know five, that means you're really a specialist.
I gotta know five to care about them.
Yeah,
I care about them.
Goddamn right. Hell yeah. If you can't name five of them, you don't. I can name five. Can I name five? Yeah, I can name five.
You can't even name five family members. Leave me alone.
That's fucked up. That's cool.
What's trending, man?
Oh, my God. You know what? That's a good segue right there. I love it. And let's go ahead and do that.
No one's talking about that. I ain't talking about that.
Because I like horses.
Oh my gosh. All right, we got a lot of things in what's trending, guys, too. So
All
let's
right.
get down to this here. Walmart, you can make some money off of this. They might owe you up to $500.
For what?
Well, here's what happened. Walmart shoppers could receive an unexpected windfall of cash as part of a new class action lawsuit settlement.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm with these.
If you purchase... shit.
Purchase what?
If you purchase horses...
I bought two last
year. I knew you was the type.
All right. If you purchase weighted goods or bagged citrus between October 2018 to January 2024,
yeah.
you could be eligible to receive a settlement check.
I did. I bought some citrus.
I'm sure.
I bought some weighted. What was it? Weighted what?
Weighted goods.
Okay, so here it is.
Like cans and shit,
so
right?
The class action lawsuit claims Walmart customers paid more than the lowest in-store advertised price on the following products. Items that were sold by weight. otherwise, you know, weighted goods, meat, poultry, pork, seafood.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over that.
Okay. Also selected organic oranges, tangerines, grapefruit, and navel oranges that were sold in bulk in plastic or mesh bags, otherwise known as bag citrus. Mm-hmm. So Walmart agreed to pay $45 million to customers. Whoa. So now here's the possible cash.
How do I get my money? Because I bought all my citrus and all my wedding products from Walmart.
Here we go. So here's the possible ways of cash payment amounts. So it's $10, $15, $20, $25, and then up to $500.
Okay.
Now, $10, if you don't have proof of a purchase but assess that you bought up to 50 weighted goods or bag citrus in person during the settlement class period. $15, if you don't have proof of the purchase but assess of buying 51 to 75 weighted goods. $20, if you don't have proof of purchase but assess to buying 76 to 100 weighted goods.
That's all you're going to get.
$25 if you don't have proof of purchase, but assess of buying 101 or more. So that's all if you don't have proof.
Yeah.
So if I don't have proof, I can get $100.
Still,
$25.
Now, up to $500 if you have proof of purchase for each weighted good and or bag citrus that you bought in person during the settlement period.
If you know how to make a receipt, please email me at lyric@yourweeklydose.com.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't have your receipts handy, you might be able to retrieve them from Walmart's website. So, and if you are eligible, you can submit the claim online or via email. Must be postmarked or submitted online by June 5th of this year. So, customers will receive payment electronically through Venmo, Zelle, ACH, or virtual prepaid MasterCard. Now, those who prefer a paper check are unable to receive electronic payment, they can request a paper check overall.
It's going to be a lot of $10
cents. A whole lot of people ain't got no receipts for $10.
But if you're buying a lot of things over there, whatever, you know, I mean, you can get up to at least up to $25. So
I promise you, it's going to be a whole lot of people that ain't shopped in Walmart in 10 years.
I shopped there.
It's going to be going over there and get that $20.
All right. Now, do you guys wish you were related to a Hollywood actor?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Well, two Hollywood actors found out they have a lot more in common than just acting.
What?
Michael Douglas and Scarlett Johansson have more than just their acting careers in common. They are also related by blood.
How close? Didn't they do some movies together? No.
No.
I'm just trying to be messy.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So on April 2nd on PBS's Finding Your Roots, Douglas learned that the Marvel actor and his co-star in Avengers Endgame is his DNA cousin.
He was not even in Avengers Endgame, but go ahead.
Yeah, he was.
Michael Douglas was not in Avengers Endgame. Ant-Man's father was not in. No, he was not. When did he show up in Endgame?
At the funeral.
Yeah, when they all came together.
Oh, at the end? That don't fucking count.
It do. He said they was not in the movie together, and that technically, both of them, in the movie.
You're on screen, it counts.
Anyway, continue.
All right. Gates, who's the host, went on to share the research from the professional genealogist found that 79-year-old Douglas and Johansson, 39, shared identical branches of DNA on four different chromosomes. According to Gates, all of those shared branches appear to Johansson's maternal line and stretch as far back to Eastern European Jewish communities. Douglas, of course, who won the Academy Award on Wall Street back in 1987, mm-hmm. is the son, of course, great actor Kirk Douglas.
Yep.
And according to The Guardian, the actor's father was born to Russian Jewish immigrants.
Hmm.
And so happens also, Andy Cohen learned that he's related to Johansson during his appearance on the show as well. So that's kind of cool, though.
Hmm.
All right, let's see what else we got. You guys Kiss fans?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess.
Really?
Yes.
No.
I can't stand them.
Okay.
Kiss fans? No, I'm not.
Give me a kiss.
That ain't even the same band. You don't even do that. What the fuck are you doing?
I know. I'm just waiting to see what else you're going to do over there besides
what
going,
the hell is going on, man? That's not...
Sorry, Sean. Continue.
Wow. Today, you know, I'm so glad we've
like
got
sober
guests.
This was like dealing with him sober.
I don't know, man.
Yo,
you
crazy,
tell me.
Yo, this is crazy.
Man.
Continue, please,
I'm trying to make you get the video footage.
Maybe we should have called Steven today. I don't know.
He had fun today.
Oh, man. My white brother.
All right. Well, Kiss, apparently, it's never really the end of the road for them. The Hard Rock Quartet has sold their catalog, brand name, and IP to Swedish company Pop House Entertainment Group.
Yeah, I saw that for like $300 million, right?
Estimated to be over $300 million. So the Pop House CEO, Persani, says that fans can expect a biopic, a documentary, and a Kiss experience on the horizon also. Today says that the goal of the purchase is to expose Kiss to new generations, which he believes sets Pop House apart from other acquisitions of music catalogs. The record companies, the three big ones that are left, they're doing a fantastic job, but they have so many catalogs they can't focus on everything, he says. We work together with Universal and Kiss, even though we will own the artist's rights, and we're doing it in conjunction with Kiss. But yes, we bought all the rights. That's not something that is normally done in the industry. So,
no, it's not.
And I'm kind of surprised that, especially with Gene Simmons, that he would do that, though.
Well, I'm pretty sure he didn't, like, he didn't give them exclusivity clause, did he?
They sold everything to him.
For how long? Like, he completely sold it, like, you have the rights in perpetuity? Or did he do it for a set time? Because usually when you sell your rights like that, it's for, like, a predetermined time, like, with master recordings. Yeah, so he just, like, all right, boom, it's yours?
The catalog? What did they say?
Wow.
The catalog, brand name, and IP.
Damn.
$300 million.
With all the money he make, like, residual from that, why would he? Wow.
Well, I mean, they've been doing their final tour for the last 25 years.
Yeah, no, but they still make, well.
So, I mean, they made a bunch of money off of that.
Yeah, but I guess with this
ain't
new
they all
company,
like 80, though?
Yeah.
They're pushing it, and that's probably
that's
the reason why.
And they'll still get money from it. Like, they'll still make money off
trying
it.
Trying to live.
Oh, yeah.
They'll still make money off it, but. That's great. Well, yeah, it is about time for them to call it. No, man. Yeah,
that's
somebody
else.
Oh, they've been it's been time for a call for the last 25 years.
Just like the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, that's dope. That's a good career. You was at 80, you want to recall your whole career? Like, give me about $300 million, please.
Very true. I can coast on this one.
Heck yeah. Okay, I would do that.
Yeah, so there you go. So, yeah, so Kiss is sold out to that. All right. If you haven't had a chance, what? Yeah. We'll see. If you haven't had a chance, the mob era Las Vegas casino, the Tropicana, has finally closed its doors.
Good.
Really? Good?
Tropicana casino? Word.
They took my money.
Oh, is that
I
the reason why?
Them.
Well, it's been open since 1957 on the Las Vegas Boulevard, surrounded by wide open desert. Sleep your ears amid the boom. So the Tropicana in Vegas is finally going down, and they're going to replace it with a $1.5 billion Major League Baseball stadium, which is being relocated.
The baseball team,
the A's,
the Oakland A's are moving to Vegas.
Yeah.
So everything from Vegas from Oakland went to Vegas.
Yep,
the Raiders, the A's.
Yep,
is it another team up that way?
I'm not too sure, but that's about it. So. Yeah, well, so there you go.
NBA team is next. They will have an NBA team next. I guarantee that.
And all the criminals, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you never know. All right. Well, you know what? Today's guest is really cool. He's a wonderful man. We've talked to him a number of times here on the show. And he retired a few years ago as the chair of the astronomy department at Foothill College. He still teaches short non-credit courses on astronomy at the University of San Francisco and San Francisco State. He's also the co-author of When the Sun Goes Dark, a book for children about eclipses. And here to talk about the eclipse is our dear friend Andrew Fracknoy. Professor, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it is so good to hear your voice again. And thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
So, Professor, the eclipse that's happening, was it Tuesday, I think it is, right?
I think so.
No, Monday.
Monday.
Oh, coming
Monday.
Right up.
Okay, Monday. So, obviously, the eclipse is when the moon comes in between the Earth and the sun, and it blocks the sun's light from coming in. One of the questions I have for you regarding it is that I was watching on the news yesterday that there's talking about the totality of the eclipse is only going to hit part of the United States. And so not everybody is going to see it. What is the reason for that? Why does that happen?
All right. So here's the idea. Imagine the moon getting in front of the sun and making a shadow in space. Now, mostly if you have a shadow in space, it doesn't hit anything. But in this case, because the Earth and the moon and the sun are lined up, the shadow of the moon hits a spot on the Earth. But it's only one spot. And now as the Earth turns and the moon orbits, that spot moves. But it's only if you're in that deep, dark shadow spot that you get to see a total eclipse. If you're not in that spot, then it's like being not quite in the shadow. It's not as dark, and so you get a partial eclipse. Only part of the moon covers the sun, and that means the sun is still visible, and it's nowhere near as spectacular as a total eclipse. But that's what's happening to most of the U.S. who are not under the dark spot. We are actually a little bit off to one side or the other. So every city in the United States will get a partial eclipse, but only those in the path of the dark spot will see the total eclipse of the sun.
Which states are going to be in the path of the dark spot?
Well, so this is the issue. The dark spot starts out on western Mexico. The very rich resort town of Mazatlan is well placed. Huh. Then the spot moves on to Texas and goes through Texas. In fact, pretty much close to many of the bigger cities in Texas, including Dallas. And then goes up through the Midwest, going always northeast in direction. Indiana will have a good share of the, right? Indianapolis will be part of the dark spot path. And then it goes in through the Midwest up into upstate New York, including Niagara Falls. You can imagine the weddings already being planned in Niagara Falls because it's under the total eclipse spot. And then on into New England and eastern Canada. The path is about 115 miles.
Wow.
Yeah, my brothers are upstate, so they might end up.
So they'll get part of it then. That's great.
Yeah, they're in a spot called Plattsburgh. So
that's
they
a
might,
crazy path. Okay.
Oh. And so how much will we see it here in Southern California or on the West Coast, Professor?
So I looked that up. In Los Angeles, it's going to be about 58% of the sun's diameter will be covered.
Oh, so most will get a good portion of it then.
So a good sized bite of the sun. You'll see about half the sun, a dark disk that extends about half the diameter of the sun. And here are the times for Southern California, just in case listeners there want to write this down. The eclipse begins a little bit after 10 a.m. on Monday, 10:06, but you can't see anything at 10:06. The moon is just starting to move across the sun. And the maximum will be at 11:12 a.m., so 12 minutes after 11 a.m., when you'll get the biggest bite out of the sun, and it'll all be over by 12:22 p.m. So it's roughly a two-hour eclipse.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll get a nice chunk out of it and be able to see most of it, though, overall. That's right. Some of the common misconceptions and misunderstandings about eclipses and the danger they pose. What are some of those that we should look out for?
Well, this is really important. So anytime any part of the sun is showing, it's dangerous to look at the sun for any length of time. And most of us realize that it hurts when we try to look at the sun. But some people think when it's eclipsed, even partly eclipsed, it's safer, and it's not. Sunglasses won't protect you even if they're polarized. In order to see the eclipse, you either need those special eclipse glasses. We'll talk about how to get them in a minute. You either need special eclipse glasses or you need to project an image of the sun. So you're not looking at the sun directly. And my, let me tell you my favorite way to watch the eclipse. You're going to laugh, but it's really scientifically reasonable. I want you to think about the colander in your kitchen. I'm talking about, you know, the big round bowl with holes in it that you wash pasta or salad in.
Yeah.
That colander is the best eclipse projector in the house.
Really?
So, yeah. Here's what you do.
Okay.
Go outside during the eclipse. Stand with your back to the sun. Very important. Don't look at the sun.
Right.
Stand with your back to the sun and hold the colander on your shoulder. Make a shadow of the colander on the sidewalk or a wall nearby. Every single hole in the colander, acts like a pinhole projector. And you will see many, many images of the eclipse sun in the shadow or on the wall. And if you're standing in the middle of the street with a colander on your shoulder, some neighbor is likely to come over and ask if you're okay. And then you can show them the eclipse and be the sensational eclipse bringer of your neighborhood.
That is a wonderful. I've never thought about doing it that way. I mean, I remember people say, like, poke a hole in a piece of paper.
Yes, that's right. And you have a one-image pinhole projector. Oh, but why limit yourself to one image when a colander can give you lots of images?
Oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
I can tell the lyrics thinking about it right now. Yeah, that's exactly.
That's really cool.
That is cool. Now, you were talking about also these special glasses. Where can we get them, and how, and what type of lenses are on these glasses?
So it turns out these glasses are not lenses at all. They're just pieces of plastic film that have been manufactured out of a special material that cuts out most of the intensity of the sun. So if you put on these glasses, you can't see anything. I mean, you're completely blind, so be in a safe place when you put them on. But the sun shows up as a small yellow disc in the glasses. It doesn't have to be eclipse time. Anytime you can look at the sun safely. So I'm part of a project that was funded by the Moore Foundation, and we've distributed 6 million eclipse glasses to 13,000 public libraries around the country.
Wow.
And so it's pretty late in the game right now, but it may be that some libraries still have a few glasses. So the first thing you might want to do is, if you want to get free glasses, contact your public library. If they're out, be nice to the librarian. In 2017, a lot of people got angry at the librarian because they were out. It's not their fault. But try your public library. If that doesn't work, many of the science museums, the planetariums, college bookstores have these glasses. A number of companies are giving them away as promotions. So you can just Google on the web, where can I get free eclipse glasses? And USA Today and others have done a nice catalog of all the places you can go to get free glasses. Or if you go to a museum, they'll make you pay a couple of bucks for it, but it's well worth it. And you don't need glasses for every person in your family, because the eclipse is slow, so you can pass the pair of glasses around. So one pair of glasses is good for 3 to 5 people easily.
And if glasses completely run out, just go to your local, you know, supermarket and get a colander.
That's right.
You know, and do that instead. Now, so there you go.
Now, some people say welder's glass is equivalent, but it's really important to know that for welder's goggles or welder's glass, only number 14 or a higher number is safe. All the regular welder's glass is not enough to cut out enough of the sun. It's got to be number 14 welder's glass or higher. This is for people who know welder's glass. Most of us have no contact with that.
Right. Awesome. Now, eclipses are something that obviously has lasted through the centuries and everything. And since people have been studying the stars and so forth, what certain things has eclipses taught us about the sun over the years?
Well, this is you've asked the question in exactly the right way. You're reminding listeners that the sun is a star. The sun is our local example of a star. If the sun were far away, it would look like a point of light, and we'd call it a star. And if any of the stars were in our neighborhood, they'd be big and bright like the sun. So by learning about the sun, we're really learning in general about the stars. And here's what happens during a total eclipse that's been really instructive for us. When the moon exactly covers the sun and the sun goes dark, right around the sun, there's a faint glow, which turns out to be the atmosphere of the sun. We didn't know the sun had an atmosphere because it's much fainter than the sun and normally doesn't show up. But when the moon does us the courtesy of covering up the sun completely, then the faint aura, the faint glow of the sun's atmosphere comes out. There's actually several layers in the sun's atmosphere. If you have binoculars, and only during the total eclipse are you allowed to use binoculars, but if you look at the eclipse sun with binoculars for those for few minutes, you can often even see little arches of hot material that are bursting from the surface of the sun, going upward and then falling down. We call these prominences, and the sun often displays these. So we see the activity of the sun's surface, we see the sun's atmosphere. We've learned, for example, that the atmosphere of the sun is much hotter than anyone thought. Most people think that as you get further away from the sun, things should get cooler. That's certainly true for the Earth, but the sun's atmosphere is actually superheated by magnetism. There's magnetic forces from the sun that heat its atmosphere. And again, we only learned about all this originally because of eclipses covering up the sun.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, there's two other things I wanted to ask you about. One of them was that I saw something recently where it says that a faster spinning Earth may cause timekeepers to subtract from the world clock. What is that about? What do they do?
Well, this is a giant non-story, but the media really liked it. Every once in a while, we have to adjust the timekeeping that we do at the atomic level, where we're using atomic clocks.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with the kind of timekeeping ordinary people do. But we adjust because the Earth's motion is not exactly like a clock. There are many factors, including the pull of the other planets, the pull of the moon. So every once in a while, as we examine the rhythm of all these pulls on the Earth, we have to adjust at the microsecond level. And these have been adding up, and so at some point there's talk of subtracting a second from the atomic clock. This is not going to affect your life in any way, but for scientific timekeeping, this is a bit of a story.
Yeah, I was kind of like going, wow, that's kind of interesting to know that because the Earth doesn't, I guess, rotate or the way it rotates, you know, that we would have to adjust in that manner. So there was another one, too, that I saw where, and this one kind of made me laugh a little bit, that the White House is now telling NASA to decide to make a time zone for the moon.
I heard that. Is that true?
Yes, it's true. It's true. I don't quite know what we're going to do with that time zone. This is all part of the push on NASA's part to revive the human moon program. For most of the time since the Apollo landings, we've only had unmanned probes, robot probes, examining the moon. And they've done a great job. And many countries have actually now sent robot probes to different areas of the moon. But the United States, under the previous president, set in motion something called Artemis, a new program which would land people on the moon. And there's a big to-do that they're going to land the first woman on the moon during this program. And they're developing the whole set of rockets and space stations and so on to do this program. So if there are going to be people on the moon, you kind of have to know what time they're on. Right? Well, when are they sleeping? What's happening? And so there's this not entirely serious, but I think interesting idea that we should make sure that the moon has some sort of time zone associated with it. And then, you know, we'll know sort of what time it's okay to call and what time it's not okay to call.
Wow. These military Zulu time.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Now, another thing I read in that article about it, though, was that, and I'm going to quote it here. It says, the moon has a weaker gravitational pull than the Earth due to its smaller mass, and therefore time moves slightly faster. How is that possible?
Oh, my goodness. This is, again, at the microsecond level. This is something, again, not affecting anything in everyday life. This actually goes back to Einstein. One of Einstein's great achievements, which is very important in astronomy and not especially important in everyday life, is that the stronger the gravity, the slower time runs. This was such a weird idea that somehow the pace of time should be connected with gravity that even scientists didn't believe it. I mean, they said, Albert, this is really a cool idea, but really? Gravity is connected with how time runs? But experiment after experiment has now shown that Einstein was right.
Wow.
That gravity is affecting time. It also bends space in funny ways. That's a big part of the movie Interstellar. But these are tiny effects on Earth and the moon. You really have to get to enormous gravity, like black holes in space, where gravity is really concentrated, for Einstein's effects to be dramatic and easily visible. So when we're talking about the pace of time on the moon, it is for all practical purposes the same as the pace of time on Earth.
Wow, amazing. Yeah, that is pretty cool. Again, we are talking with Professor Andrew Fracknoy. He was the chair of the astronomy department at Foothill College, and of course teaches us short non-credited courses for University of San Francisco and San Francisco State. Professor, it is always a pleasure to have you on our program, as just as you were with Mark and Brian. I appreciate it, and the knowledge that you have and the way you explain things to us that we, the ding-dongs of this show and our listeners, can understand everything.
Yes, sir. Thank
you,
sir.
Thank you very much. If I could make one non-commercial plug.
Please.
You mentioned at the beginning of the show that I've written a children's book called When the Sun Goes Dark. And it explains eclipses for kids. So if you have kids or grandkids who on Monday are going to be asking questions and wondering what is an eclipse and how does it work, this book, When the Sun Goes Dark, is available from the nonprofit publisher, the National Science Teaching Association, and you can download an electronic copy. So even though now it's Saturday and the eclipse is coming Monday, it's not too late to get an electronic copy of When the Sun Goes Dark, read it to the kids and tell them exactly what eclipses are about in language that they can understand.
Awesome. That is so wonderful. And for more of his work, you can also go to his website, fracknoi.com. It's spelled FRAKNOI.com. Professor, pleasure as always to have you on, and we definitely want to keep more in touch with you and have you on more times.
Yes, sir.
My pleasure. Take care.
Take care. Have a wonderful weekend. All right, like, isn't he cool?
That was pretty cool.
I'm about to order that book right now.
I know. Yeah, I love him. I love him, you know.
I could have listened to that, like, y'all could have kept going.
Yeah, like I said, when he was teaching full-time, he was the one that, like, I mean, students would line up to fulfill their science class.
I can understand why.
You know?
I can easily understand
why. Just the nicest guy overall.
Yeah, he was cool.
Oh, love it. Well, now to segue from a different kind of science, though.
Weird science?
Well, I don't know if it's that weird or not or anything.
That would be a fun movie to redo. That would be a fun movie. That would
be an interesting movie to redo.
Yeah. It had to be done the right way.
Exactly. But it's that of making beer, so we have now online.
Oh, it's beer science.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, beer science. Well done, sir. Well done.
There you go.
Well done. Well done. Got a cooler in the back. With a 12-pack ready to
roll. I'm just a cold beer drinker. Hey. So online, once again, we have our dear friends Mike and Kay. How are you guys?
Hello.
Oh, whoop, I'm sorry. I had the feeder down. My fault. There we go. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
We're doing great.
Oh, you're both there.
Yeah, we're both here. Oh. I don't know how we can top the professor there though.
Tell us that you're making fruity stuff. That's how.
I remember a story, Sean, a few years ago. Didn't you moon a train and Steve looked too long and went blind?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, that's why Steve's not on the show anymore.
Steve's like, fuck that.
Exactly. Yeah, that was for National Full Moon Day. We did that. We went down to a bar down in San Juan Capistrano. Where that's where they moon the Amtrak trains going by. So, yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It sounded like it was fun.
Oh, it was. It was. We had an absolute blast. So, first off, how are you guys?
You know, we're doing okay. You know, we won't get into it on the show, but, you know, we've had a few family issues going on over the past 6 months. So, we're looking for the next 6 months to be good ones. So, we're going to kick it off next week with a trip to Cabo. So,
congratulations.
Dude, I give you $40, can you bring me back some Cabo Wabo tequila?
Yeah, we could certainly do that. We could actually get it out here too, though.
Yeah, but I want it from there.
Yeah. We could do that. As a matter of fact, speaking of Cabo Wabo, we're going to go see Sammy later on this year. So.
You're in for a treat, man. I've seen him two or three times, and my God, you are so in for a treat. So
yeah, we're big fans. We've seen him about I don't know half a dozen times. This time we went ahead and shelled out for VIP tickets because, you know, I don't know how long he'll keep doing this, but he puts on a fun show.
Oh, he does. And he's in his 70s now.
Yeah, I know.
Wasn't he 72 or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. And he's still going strong as ever, too, which is nuts, man.
You're doing great.
Yeah.
And then one thing, too, I don't know if people know, but here in Southern California, in Huntington Beach, he opened up his first beach bar.
You know what I do? We saw that. As a matter of fact, when I ran the one of the runs, I think Surf City Half Marathon, we stayed at that hotel.
Oh, nice!
And we ate at that little place. You know, he's got a great one in Vegas that we like to hit when we're up in Vegas. But it's good stuff. And then, you know, there we don't drink beer; we have to have the margaritas. So.
Oh, of course. Real quick, I'm going to segue something with you, Mike. How did you do at the LA Marathon, brother?
You know what? I did better than I was thinking I would do because of all the issues I've had recently. And so I finished. I was happy being in the top half of finishers, but that does include old ladies and, you know, 5-year-old girls. Hey, so
they was in the race. They was there.
They was there.
They was there.
They was there. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, hey, at 57, I'm happy with that. So
awesome, brother. So what do you got for us today, guys? Because I know it's National Beer Day and National New Beer Day, too. So I was kind of asking to see what new things that are out there that you guys can share with us.
Yeah. So, you know, we thought we'd throw out a few pieces of information about these two dates, just so everybody understands. So April 7th is National Beer Day, and April 6th is actually considered New Beer's Eve.
I like that.
I like New Year's Eve a lot.
And National Beer Day is actually meant to celebrate the signing of the Cullen-Harrison Act, which it didn't repeal the 18th Amendment. That was later on in the year. But it did legalize the sale of 3-2 beer. You know, you've heard of 3-2 beer, which is 3.2%. Mm-hmm. And it also legalized the sale of wine with a similar alcohol content. And back then, it was thought to be safe because it would not cause intoxication. And obviously, we all know if you have, 10 or 20 of those things, I think it's going to be a problem. So
just a bit.
And just another little piece of trivia. When Roosevelt signed it, he made a famous remark that said, I think this would be a good day for a beer. And right after that, Anheuser-Busch, the actual Anheuser-Busch, delivered a new beer to him via Clydesdale drawn carriage. So that's where the Clydesdale commercials come from.
Mm-hmm. That's a horse.
That is a horse.
Good for you, BW. You get a cookie.
I hate you.
Yeah, nice. But anyway.
God.
So, hey, what we thought we'd do is Kay and I thought we would try a few beers that were completely different since, you know, New Beer's Eve, that were completely different than what we typically do.
Uh-huh.
And so we got three or four of them to share here.
Okay. All right. And, what you got?
Yeah. So the first one, and all of these can be bought at your local favorite liquor store. We got these at, Total Wine. Yeah, Total Wine.
Okay.
And so a brewery called Paperback Brewing here in Glendale. I shouldn't say here in Glendale, but not too far away in Glendale. They've got an Italian style pilsner called Capiche.
Capiche, I like it.
Yeah, and it's got some great can art with a would you call that a Guido?
Yeah,
a Guido, and I can't get in trouble for that because I am Italian Sicilian. So,
CBW, I told you I knew Italian. See, you mess with me, whatever. I want to sick Mike on you.
Capiche?
Hey, I know a
Capiche?
Guy. I know a guy.
And he knows guys.
Anyway, but this. This is one that I think everybody would like. It's very light and crisp. It's got a very mild hoppy flavor. So, you know, like Sean, I know you're not a fan of IPAs and they've got a lot of hoppiness to them. This has just got a light hop flavor. And Kay described it as effervescent, right? So
yeah.
Almost like a champagne.
Champagne and beers kind of thing.
Oh, I might like that one, though. I might like that one.
Yeah, yeah, but you might like it. And on the can, it says it's a pilsner you won't refuse.
Ah.
Yeah, you see what they did there?
I do. See, and to let, so, you, let you guys know, it's because of these two people that I like stouts now.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think it sounds like that.
They made me a stout guy. So.
Okay. Well, one of your favorites is Belching Beaver, right?
Oh, it is. Oh, yes. That one. And you know what I'm still trying to find is the Guinness Milk Stout.
Yeah, I know. I haven't seen it since then. I keep my eyes open because I know you like that stuff.
Oh, that was so good.
It seems like it was just that one year. I don't know why they haven't released it again, but, you know, maybe they will eventually.
Yeah.
But very honestly, Guinness has their 0% ABV that helped us get us through the dry month because they have a stout that is creamy just like a regular stout, but it's got 0% ABV.
And what does that mean, 0% ABV?
It's non-alcoholic.
Oh, well, I don't want that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's actually pretty good
for a non-alcoholic beer. It's the best one that I found.
Okay. We did a dry, was it February or January?
January.
We did a dry January. Sometimes it's fun to do that. Not really fun, but good.
Let's try the word interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Sometimes we have to dry out.
Yeah, you got
to
dry out once in a while. So the next one on the list is a beer from Owl Farm Beers, and they're in Vista, California. And this was a cucumber tahine goza, and it's spelled G. it's spelled G-O-S-E, but it's pronounced like a goza.
Okay.
And that style of beer is typically a little bit tart and a little bit salty. So this one was exactly that. It was slightly tart, not a sour beer. A little bit salty. It had the kind of chili flavor you get out of the tahine, if you like tahine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is tahine is great on margaritas, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
And then a mild cucumber flavor. It was, I'm not a giant cucumber fan, but, you know, cucumber water and those kinds of things are refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
So not too bad. It was a light-bodied beer, so good, a great summer beer. So coming up here, we'll be in the 100-degree weather. You doing okay there, Sean?
You need a beer.
Yeah, no, I've had this thing in my throat for the last 2 weeks, whatever, man. So every now and then I'm coughing. So I apologize.
Well, hopefully you're on the mend soon.
Yeah.
So after that is something pretty new to us, and it's a brewery that's been around for a while, Lagunitas. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
You've mentioned them before, I think.
Yeah, we've had them on the show before, and they're in Petaluma, California, and I'm sure we've even done a little something-something on your show before. This is a little something-something wheat IPA, and the part that's new to us is a wheat IPA. I don't think I've ever had one, even though we, you know, our hobby is seeking out little breweries, and this was very good. As a matter of fact, Sean, being that you're not an IPA a lover, you might like this. It was, it's very mild. It's, again, very lightly hoppy. And lightly, it's got a light wheat flavor to it, if you know wheat beers or wit beers. And a slightly sweet. I think that's the part that might help somebody who's just trying to get into it.
It really balanced out the hoppiness of an IPA. It made it very drinkable if somebody wasn't familiar with an IPA.
Nice. Okay, so it go down a little bit smoother then, or?
Yeah, it goes down very smoothly. Now, this is a high alcohol content beer. It's actually 7.5, and most of the beers that people are drinking, you know, the Buds and the Coors of the world are around probably 4%, and then your Gozes or Gozas and ales are standard ales are around 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. And then IPAs get into about the 6, 7, 8 range. This is pretty high at 7.5. So you're probably only going to have 1 hour. So just to be safe.
Nice.
And then the last one we did, and I will tell you, this was hard work. We sat here. You'll see it on Instagram. I took a picture. Our research this morning, we had the little taster cups glasses out that you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
I've got notes on my computer here, and you know, we're doing the hard work that somebody's got to do it, right?
That's why we call you guys.
And the last one is Two Pitchers Brewing, and this is actually brewed by two professional baseball pitchers that retired out of Oakland. I'm not sure if they were from the Oakland A's or not, but they retired in Oakland and they started a brewery. And this is called a Radler, R-A-D-L-E-R.
Okay.
And it's a lager, and so your Bud and your Coors are lagers. But the reason this was kind of different for us, if it was a blood orange and grapefruit flavor combined, which again is something that I don't think I've seen. And you would really like this one.
The citrus stuff I do like an awful lot.
If you like the taste of grapefruit with sugar on it or like a sweetened grapefruit juice, mm-hmm. At least for me, it reminded me a lot of that. And Kay had a little bit of other.
I could get a lot of the orange out of it. So it tasted like a sweetened grapefruit juice with a orange Kool-Aid.
Not too bad. So, yeah.
And again, for people who think, well, gosh, I don't want that stuff in my beer, it's kind of nice to have such a variety. And if you get out there to these little breweries and try some of these odd sounding flavors, you really can develop an interest in them. And it's nice because it's nice to change it up a little bit. So
that's the one thing that you guys showed me overall is just how much certain beers can the flavors of them. And I remember the first time you guys came in, it was like, okay, try this one and then take a piece of chocolate or have this one and try this cheese, you know, and because it accented all those different flavors in it. And that to me, that's what made it, you know, so unique and still wanting to try different IPAs and go, okay, I wonder what that one tastes like. I wonder what this one tastes like. You know,
and when you read the labels on them, you can see if they're slightly sweeter, more grapefruit, because IPAs differ very, they're so very different from one another, whether they're more grapefruit, citrus, piney, dank or not. East Coast, West Coast will make a difference. But then again, if you take a look, and a lot of good breweries oftentimes have food trucks and things like that that are also associated that come on in that you can find some things that pair with that.
Interesting. Okay. And Kate, what are you making right now? Are you making anything?
Right now I'm waiting till the summer with life, and I've gone back to college for a master's in TESOL.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be done in late September, October-ish with another master's that will allow me to, in retirement, to have some choices.
Nice.
And I'm really enjoying going back to school, but it's a lot of work. So
I'm
waiting till I'm not teaching and I have a little bit of free time. But I look forward. I'm either going to do a black IPA or a wheat IPA.
Okay. So you said now, was it October you're going to be graduating?
I think it's, I got to take a look. It was 11 classes every 6 weeks, except I think the first one was 4 and I started in August. So I think it's towards the end of October or so. I'm done.
Well, we definitely got to celebrate at that point in time then.
You heard Charlie speaking up there.
Oh, was that Charlie?
Yeah, that's Charlie. Yeah.
Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Sean, so yeah, we'd like to get out there in the room sometime. I'd love to meet Lyric and BW. You guys have brought a great added humor to the show. It's been really fun listening to you guys. And so it's a great team right now.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome anytime.
Most definitely. Yeah, you know the door is always open to you. All you got to do is just let me know when you're coming out, and that's it. Because I'll tell you, these guys will try anything you put in front of them.
All right. Well, we'll bring that, the beers and we'll bring the food.
That made me uncomfortable. The way you said that made
There's
me.
There's a lot going on in Hollywood right now. You guys just say it like that.
You guys tried Peeps last week, so if you guys
Dr.
could try
Pepper
that,
Peeps like yeah. that,
you know, yeah. then you could try these beers that they'll bring.
Yeah. Beers, I try the beers. We in there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
We'll make sure it's all safe. So
I'm gonna need a driver that day.
Yeah, that's how we'll be.
Oh man. Well, guys, I'm so glad to talk to you again. And so good to hear your voices. You know, we've been trying to get you on for a while and everything. And with everything going on behind the scenes, too, you know, it's been a little bit tough, but I'm glad you guys are persevering and getting through everything overall.
Yeah. Things are going good. And we just got to see one of the boys a couple weeks ago. And that's always fun. So
awesome.
life goes on.
It does.
We keep busy. So
it does. And we need to celebrate with more beers.
Definitely.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Cool deal. Well, guys, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And as always, I love you both very dearly. You guys know that, but I always like to make it public and publicly known. So,
it's a mutual feeling.
We love you guys all, and look forward to the shows. I'm a little behind right now, but I'll get caught up. And again, we'll get out there soon.
No worries. So, when's the next big race for you, Mike?
You know what? Now that the summer's coming and I'm a wimp when it comes to the heat, I don't run again until November. I do the half marathon in January, one in February, and then I did the full marathon in March. Uh-huh. And then I'm off. I'm off my official runs, I should say, until November, which is when I do the Big Bear half.
Wow, okay.
and then kind of start over again. So that's where I'm at right now. I did sign up for the next LA Marathon. It's the 40th anniversary edition, so that ought to be fun. It'll be my 15th marathon. Nice. So
jeez, yeah, this dude can go, man. And then he can pound the beers back too. Trust me.
Hey, that's why I have to run.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, and Kay, congratulations too on that master's degree. I can't wait to hear that you graduated with another one. So that's very, very fun and very exciting to hear.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I love being in school. I guess even at my age, I can certainly learn new things.
Anybody can learn new things at 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that 23. That's nice.
All right, you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Love you both.
Mm-hmm. All right, take care. We'll see you.
Yep. And remember.
All right, take care, guys.
I'm just a cold beer drinker.
What? Remember what?
Got the chalice on my top finger.
Love those two. Love those two.
With a 12 pack ready to roll. I'm just a cold beer drinker.
All right. Well, we got some time left. And of course, you know what time it is now? Oh, wrong thing, brother.
What are you doing?
Horoscope me, horoscope you. That's what it is. All right. I'll go first here. Let's see. Actually, no, wait. Who's got the double one?
Me.
You got the double. Why don't you go first then?
Yeah, wake up and read.
Oh, you gonna really call me out like that?
You sound slimmer.
Yeah, you call me out like that.
Tilting his head back, closing his eyes.
For Gemini.
Yeah, baby.
I hate you so much. The month is full of faith, Gemini. Contemplate your aspirations to open your mind to fresh perspectives.
Mm.
You're feeling especially social on the 4th, and you can find yourself attracted to people who share your vision.
Mm.
transformation takes place during the eclipse on April 8th, helping you reimagine what it means to connect with others.
Hmm. All right, that sounds good. Okay.
The internet could be a powerful outlet for you to show up in your truth, taking a step back from friendships that don't offer reciprocity. Frees your energy for more aligned relationships. You're invited to make intentional progress on your spiritual path when the sun brings its warmth to you on the 19th. Healthy escapism into the unknown will activate your imagination. When you relax, you're better able to lean into emotional growth. You're finding ways to embrace self-care during the full moon on April 23rd. Lovingly release old habits and shift your focus to harmonizing your mind, body, and soul. Remember that loving yourself is a practice. It's easier to work with others on the 25th. Karmic connections come in abundance on April 29th. Feeling emotionally centered is the key to successful manifestation. You're standing up for what you believe in and taking the initiative when it comes to what's important to you on the 13th.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Word.
All right.
Mindful, Gemini.
All right. Well, you know, let's flip the tables here then. So I'm going to do Capricorn.
Yeah.
All right. It is intuitive month for you, Capricorn. There is a invitation to quiet your mind so you can relax your body. On the 4th, you'll feel sensually and desire. As you listen to messages from your heart space, you could find yourself craving deeper connections. Mm-hmm. The eclipse on the 8th invites you to into an emotional reset. Previously buried feelings from deep within are revealed. Your instincts are sharp and your inner voice is speaking loud and clear, communicating what you need to feel safe. Connection with your spirit team and ancestors will provide extra nourishment and guidance.
Yeah.
So listen to those things. Inspiration encourages you to tap into your imaginative source on the 19th. Make an effort towards building passion project and it will bring reward. So focus on that thing you guys got coming up. Meaningful bonds are formed in your social life, and you could find yourself on the receiving end of romantic gestures.
Don't say that.
Be on the receiving end of romantic gestures. Now, people are interested in connecting with you. The full moon on April 23rd gives you the motivation you need to recreate your hopes as it illuminates your house of aspirations. Excuse me. You speak from the heart on the 25th, and on the 29th, you'll feel ignited to connect with others. It's time to have some fun and explore the simple pleasures of life. On the 30th, activate your intuitive powers.
Intuitive powers activate.
Exactly. There you go. You want yours?
I'll take it.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen here, Virgo. It's a transformative month.
It's kind Virgo, of angry,
on April 1st, you gotta
it's kind of transformation. Aggressive.
You can't just take transformation easy. It's transformation. You are asked to communicate with patience. Intensity runs high, but this acts as the impetus. What is the impetus?
Impetus.
Yeah, thank you. Impetus for reflection on the 1st, on the 4th, on the 4th.
On the what?
Because it passed already. So I was saying like the past, first.
You. Yeah.
You're ready to initiate a new approach when it comes to your money story. You're gaining resources. An empowering yet unpredictable eclipse beckons you into the corridors of your emotional realm on April 8th. An outdated version of yourself is fading away, offering you the opportunity to build yourself up so you can live in a magical life. This is a productive process of death and rebirth that opens the sky so you can, like a phoenix, rise from the ashes. You're flying high on the 19th, activating your house of abundance. You could be going on an adventure. New interests catch your attention. This is an excellent time to sharpen your spiritual skills. Mindful communication is key during the full moon on April 23rd that illuminates your house of communication. Tap into a motivational mindset. On the 25th, you feel ready to have important conversations. On April 29th, your manifestation complete expansion in your life. New possibilities open up for you, and your deep desire to enjoy your journey is fulfilled. You learn a lot through fearless exploration. expiration.
Fuck you looking at me?
Because I'm just repeating it. I'm just going to make sure they hear me. On the 13th, you need to take action and clear debts, both emotional and financial.
Wait a minute. Wait. Didn't you just say, why are you looking at me? And he's reading your thing?
I ain't like the way you're looking at me.
Well, that's different, but it's like, why are you looking? He's reading it to you.
He's looking directly at me. I don't like the way he's looking at me.
You felt judged.
I did feel judged. I felt judged.
Read to the people, sir. Oh, this. But here, you want yours, you know?
No, I don't want this.
No, because he feels judged.
I feel like I'm judging myself. Last one, Aries.
Ah, the birth month.
It's a month of intentional action, Aries. On April 1st, your sign begins and encourages you to take it easy. With a discerning pause, you'll find new ways to communicate authentically. On the 4th, you to express yourself fully. You could be changing your look or vibe in some way.
Okay.
The eclipse activates the sky on April 8th and initiates a transformation of your perspectives. You're evolving, and within that, you have the ability to tap into a stronger sense of power. Since this eclipse is in Aries, you're the star of the show.
Ooh.
The energy shifts on the 19th and settles into your house of wealth, creation, and talent. That's an eagerness to build up your life and use your skills. You're called to manage resources when the full moon illuminates your 8th house of money. On April 23rd, let go of anything that you no longer trust. Aries get 8 houses of money?
I know a few Aries. I know a few Aries.
Need to call them. Yeah, get him a call.
Good thing I married one.
There you go.
On the 25th, you are feeling restored confidence. On April 29th, you have an increase of possessions and self-esteem. This will elevate your money mindset and give you a boost of confidence as you create your legacy. Take your time and focus on quality over quantity for best results. Mars enters your sign and fuels your passion on the 13th. You'll grow at an accelerated rate by cutting ties with outdated versions of yourself. I'll need to find out about these 7 or 8 houses of money. That's what I'm looking at. That's interesting. But we done. That's it.
That's it. There we go. And there is our horoscope. Alrighty. Well, once again, Monday is going to be the solar eclipse. And of course, we got the whole explanation of what happens and what we're learning from Professor Andrew Fragno, which is great. Man, God, I love that guy.
He's cool as hell, man.
But there's some ways that we can celebrate, and some companies are helping out with that too as well. So both Lyric and VW have that list. So guys, yeah, sure. What do we got that people can go out and buy right now to help us celebrate this eclipse?
You go first.
Blue Moon has a fun package for the beer drinkers out there. The new Eclipse Sip Kit includes a one-of-a-kind Blue Moon Moon Dust to give your beer a literal glow-up, plus backlight coasters and flashlight, and 4 Blue Moon signature pint glasses.
Word. Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams. The innovators at Jenny's have been behind some viral pop culture collaborations, but they're up in the ante with their new highly Instagrammable punk Stargonaut. The results, 3 all-new flavors inspired by fictional alien fruits, Nebula Berry Cosmic Bloom, and Purple Starborn, plus the revival of fan favorite Supermoon.
Here you go. Krispy Kreme.
Crack cocaine.
The donut makers at Krispy Kreme actually have a long history of celebrating space-related events, going all the way back to 1969 when the original glazed donut were served at the launch viewing site at NASA's Apollo 11 mission to the moon. For the most recent total solar eclipse in the U.S. in 2017, the brand eclipsed its iconic original glazed donut and the chocolate glaze for the very first time. This year creation takes things a step further with silver sprinkles I'm trying to taste that sweetness. I'm over here getting
the cavity
lump right now. I'm getting
Oreo. I feel like I got one right now.
Yeah, right. Dang. Oreo buttercream and a whole Oreo cookie in the center. What?
No.
Silver Hell sprinkles, no. Oreo buttercream, and a whole Oreo cookie in the center. Krispy Kreme's Total Solar Eclipse Donut will be available Friday, April 5th through Monday, April 8th in shop or for pickup. Via Krispy Kreme's app. You know, that's too much.
Yeah, that's way too much sugar. Too much. Lesser Evil Spaceballs launched in 2023, but there's never been a more appropriate time to give them a try. The air-puffed organic whole grain corn balls get a dunk in avocado oil and Himalayan salt and some creative, highly on-theme flavors. Interstellar cheddar, outer planet pizza, ranch pocket chip, and cinnamon sugar stardust would all be perfect snacks for your eclipse viewing party.
I like
available
that.
Available on Lesser Evil website as well as Amazon, Fresh Direct, and more online retailers.
That's not a good name. Oreo. It's possible no brand is more excited for the eclipse than Oreo. Oreo has launched a limited edition line of space dunk cookies. I tasted them.
Were they good?
I'm explaining. Let me read this.
Let
me tell you what they tell you what it is first, and then I'll give my critique. Filled with layers of pink and blue marshmallow flavored cosmic cream.
Nope.
And popping candies to create a supernova bursting sensation with every bite.
Nope.
So they got like Pop Rocks in it then?
Yes.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Hold on. They're also the first Oreos ever.
Yeah.
And the brand surprisingly distinguished 100-year history to show what's inside.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to a small cutout of the cookie itself, providing a window into those bright frosted colors. I'll bring you some. Damn, I should have brought you something.
No, you ain't got to bring none of them shits in, man. For you, yeah, baby. I don't want none of that.
And the one giant leaf of cookie kind Oreo is offering the chance to win an actual journey to the edge of space via space tourism company Space Perspective. Oreo Space Dunk cookies are available at liftoff.oreo.com, where customers can enter to win a space flight adventure.
That's interesting, though, man, to put Pop Rocks inside a cookie like that.
Yes, it's very. The Pop Rocks is like too much. Yeah. But it's good, though, because it's like it comes after you eat the whole cookie.
So
it's like, what is this? Like fireworks after the cookie, you bite the cookie.
It seemed like it'd be a lot, yo. It'd be a lot.
It's not that bad, though. It's actually good. It's just, it's a lot. It's sweet.
It's really freaking sweet.
It's sweet, but it's good. It's not
bad. What flavors were the berry? Was it a berry flavor you said?
No, it's just colors.
Oh, just colors. No flavor.
No flavor.
Pink and blue marshmallow, man. That's what that's
cool. All right.
Nope.
But it was
so the flavors really got to come from the Pop Rocks, then.
Yeah, flavor. Well, the Pop Rock doesn't have the flavor. It comes sweet. You taste the pink and the blue. You taste it. It tastes real pink and blue.
Real pink and blue.
And then the Pop Rocks come after the last bite, and you just feel it.
Nope.
That's what it feels like.
It's too much. That's too much.
Just like that, man.
So it's like, then it's like, at first it's like, what? And then it's like, okay. All right.
And then it's like, I've never had that again.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't need much more of that.
All right.
It's good to taste, though. I would say try it. Yeah, I would try it.
I'm cool.
Right. Taste one. It's good. It's all right.
All right. Was that it? Was that everything?
No, come on, Lyric.
Perfect Bar. Perfect Bar made a flavor. Yeah, all right. Perfect Bar made a flavor of its popular refrigerated protein bars just for the solar eclipse, going perfectly dark with the new chocolate brownie bar. 12 grams of whole food protein and 20-plus superfoods. The new flavor blends freshly ground organic peanut butter, cashew butter, and cocoa, and tops it all with dark chocolate chips. Chocolate brownie is available March 25th at select grocery stores and nationwide retailers, including Target and Walmart.
Nice. So there you go, guys. A couple of cool snacks to have to celebrate the eclipse. That sounds really good.
I am the snack.
Yeah. You know, sitting there looking up through your glasses and everything.
My colander.
And your colander on your shoulder. Yeah, baby. Now we're talking. Now we're talking.
Looking real sophisticated, sir.
Absolutely. Now, hey, Lyric.
Nope.
You know what time it is?
Fuck y'all looking at me for a play the song.
He asked you a question.
Yes, I'm waiting on him to play the song.
So it's that one, baby.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah, that's right. The game that makes Lyric say something else on another segment. Quiz me.
Quiz you.
And of course, we got intern Christopher out there.
What's up, man?
What
up,
hello, man? Boys.
What's that?
You feeling lucky?
Mm-mm. Yes, we are.
Then we shall begin.
All right.
I mean, supposedly, according to Lyric, we're like, what, like 30 minutes late by this game?
You want to jump in too? Okay. You want to jump in too? Okay. All right.
Well, we're jumping into question number one. Just try to keep up. All right.
He just called you out.
He did, didn't he?
I know. It's so fun.
See, you see what I mean?
All right. McDonald's restaurant periodically runs a themed promotion based on what board game?
Oh, Brown.
Sean. Oh.
Brown.
Monopoly.
That is correct. Oh. Give me a ding. Here we go.
Ding, ding.
The ding's open. Ding.
It's personal now.
Shit. Personal.
All right. Question number two. What 2005 American Idol winner also won the Grammy Award for Best
Lyric.
New Lyric?
Kelly Clarkson.
No.
Brown.
Brown.
Fantasia.
No.
Sean.
Sean.
Miranda Lambert.
No.
Oh, he's got a metal band. Chris, fuck. Daughtry.
No. You want me to finish the question now?
Brown.
Okay.
Brown.
Ruben Studdard.
No.
Hell no. Hell no.
All right, am I going to finish
question, sir?
So, what 2005 American Idol winner also won the Grammy Award for Best New Artist in 2007?
Oh, the
Lyric? Lyric?
Clay?
No.
No. Brown.
Brown.
Carrie Underwood.
That is correct.
Oh,
I forgot she was American Idol. I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Surprise.
Cool. I know a girl who... I think American Idol or America's Got Talent. She went to MI with me, music school. Not that good, but she got paid from the show.
Oh, I bet.
She already had like 50, 60,000 followers on Instagram. She was building her thing up, and after she went on that show, she can't sing worth a damn. She ain't really that good, but.
All right.
So that means I still got a shot.
Yeah,
you got it.
All right, nice. Okay. All right, question three. What was the name of Dr. Evil's cat in the Austin Power movie series?
Oh, shit.
Sean.
Sean.
Mr. Bigglesworth?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Good job. Question number four.
That was random. That was random.
Yeah, for real.
This is random trivia,
yeah,
guys.
That was,
you
trivia.
Expect
that was,
the unexpected.
That was a good random. That
it was.
Go
it was
ahead.
A really good one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Which pasta is named for the Italian word for twins?
For twins?
Mm-hmm.
Sean.
Sean.
The Gemini.
That is correct, dude.
What the fuck?
Why is that right?
Hey, I don't. Right? I don't think that should be right.
That's not right.
It doesn't seem right, man. I'm with that. Something seem fishy, man.
It's Gemini.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you was bullshit.
No, it's right.
Oh, wow.
If you would have seen his face, he was just throwing something out there.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
The Gemini.
Y'all in cahoots. Y'all in cahoots, goddammit.
Oh, uh-huh. All right, go ahead.
Question number five. Oh, boy. All right. In hospital lingo, what color code represents a life-threatening emergency?
Brown.
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 No.
Oh.
Sean.
Sean.
Red.
No.
No, that's not.
Look, Brown, I know you want to be important, but like that's just not going to cut it.
Oh, brown is Lyric. Child abduction.
Blue. That is correct.
Yay.
Lyric on the board.
Brown, yeah, brown is child abduction.
Lyrics on the board.
What the fuck?
Lyrics on the board. Lyrics on the
board. Question number five.
We do need
six. We're on six. Sorry, we're on six.
Yo. Oh my
All right.
God. Y'all didn't see these motherfuckers dancing, man. Oh my God.
All right.
All so. Three of them in here dancing. Fuck you.
All right.
Fuck, man.
All right. In the film Top Gun, what song do Maverick and Goose sing at the officers' club?
Oh.
Sean.
Sean.
You lost that love and feeling.
That is correct.
I was going to say Usher, yeah.
Well, you better shut up.
I was gonna say Bon Jovi. Yeah. I had no idea.
No, I know.
Question number seven. We got a round robin. Round robin, number seven. What year did the Incredible Hulk TV show premiere on CBS? This is our round robin.
The original was? Damn.
Yeah.
Brown.
Brown.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, Brown.
I'll go first.
Yeah, say what number. What number's coming to you?
68.
1968. All right.
Sean,
what are you saying?
'77.
You're saying 77? All right. Lick,
I was
Lick, what
saying
you
78.
One of you's right on the dot for the first time in a round robin. And that is Lyric!
Yay!
1978.
I knew that one.
Lyrics on the board.
Lyrics on the board. Question number
nine. You won't like him when he's angry.
Question number eight.
His shorts are ripping right now.
So bad.
Lyrics getting pissed.
Lyrics getting pissed.
What word describes a cut of steak containing both the T-bone and the tenderloin?
Lyric. Porterhouse.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Lyrics making a comeback.
Shut up.
Question number nine.
I saw you. Shut up.
Number nine. Let's go. Otis Redding was the first person in the U.S. to posthumously receive a gold record for what single?
So start over one more time, please.
Okay. So Otis got a
Otis Redding got a gold single.
And he was the first person to do so posthumously.
Posthumously.
Thank you for the correction.
He said posthumously.
I was like, posthuman?
That was pretty good,
still
though.
Here.
That was pretty good, though. All right, so he received the Go album posthumously, but for what single? Otis Redding.
Oh, Brown.
First. Brown.
My Girl.
No.
That's a Temptations.
He still wrote it.
No, he didn't.
He wasn't even in the Temptations.
Smokey wrote it, you dumbass.
Fuck, man. Like, that made me angry. I'm sorry. Like, that one got me angry a little bit. Like, yo.
See, there are some people in the world who are just
Lyric, that dude had nothing
dumb.
To do with the Temptations.
Lyric, get a new partner now.
Some people in the world.
He wrote it. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Some people.
Well, he was black.
Some people in the world, they're not the smartest people, and then there are the people below them, like down here. That's what we got here.
Right.
So does anybody want to take an actual guess right. here?
How about no, crazy Dutch bastard?
Any legitimate guesses here?
I have nothing.
God, Otis.
I got nothing.
Otis Skye.
Can we pass on this one?
You can pass.
When you say we're gonna be like, oh,
Sean, sitting on the dock of the bay.
That is correct.
Nope. Oh,
no,
wow.
You don't know that song?
It's a good song.
When I hear it, I probably know it now.
Watching the time roll away.
Ooh, I'm sitting on
Definitely
the dock
don't know
of the
like
bay.
Sitting in the morning sun. Yes, I'll be sitting till the evening comes.
I'll be real with you. I think my brain is shutting y'all out when y'all sing it. I just had to hit a song.
We sound good, y'all. Anyway, right. Number 10.
Yeah, let's see if you can. Hey, I say that.
Pick up my guitar.
I say number 10. Number 10!
Yeah.
Say it with authority.
We got to get the good video in here. He's right. We got to get video in here. He's absolutely right. We got to get video in here ASAP.
All right.
You should have seen the look you just gave us, too.
All right.
Fuck you. All right. Go, intern.
Which phobia is the most common in the world?
Brown. Erect.
You going to finish it?
Arachnophobia?
There you go. You finished it. Good job.
And he got
No, you got it correct.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the fear of dark? Isn't there a phobia of dark places?
Darknophobia.
No.
Shut up.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
It's blacknophobia.
Wow.
It ain't no joke. I like to buy the world a token.
Oh my god. Yeah.
These are my partners, everybody.
We're going to use that when it's so dumb.
These are my partners. Real quick, thank you again to Professor Andrew Fratnoy for joining us today. And talking to us about space things. It was very interesting.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. And, of course, Mike and Kay, love you both, guys. Thank you. We're going to try and get to, I think you said Total Wines and More. Find some of those beers and check them out.
Yeah. So.
And be careful, guys. We got the eclipse coming up on Monday, so look up, so get your glasses or go out and get a colander and have some fun with it.
Yeah.
All right. Show's website, yourweeklydose.com. Exit Instagram, yourweeklydose1. Email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yo, send us some pictures of you drinking some beers today. And find me at Brown Waters anywhere on social media or sketchybudget.com. And remember, tough times don't last long, and neither does good beer.
There you go.
Indeed, indeed. Follow me everywhere, the Real Lyric or Lyric Johnson. Look us up on YouTube, Sketchy Budget Entertainment. Talk to y'all next weekend, baby.
Absolutely. If you guys want to follow me, Sean, simply Sean R. Unplugged. Until next week, guys, be good to each other. Have fun. Take care. So don't delay, act now, supplies are running out. Allow if you're still alive, 6 to 8 years to arrive. And if you follow them, may be out tomorrow. But if the office shine, you might as well be walking on the sun. Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.